Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Batten. So happy you're here today. I have a special guest for us today on the podcast, and I'm super excited to introduce you to one of my longtime members of the Retailer's Inner Circle. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we would love to have you join us. So after you listen to our podcast today, I want you to think about joining us inside the Retailer's Inner Circle. We are a group of incredible, I say we, but they are a group of incredible, real retailers doing really cool things. And they are interested in elevating their business. No one's in there just to play at shop, if I'm being honest. And I'm sure you're not either. So it is filled, again, with great retailers. It is a community aspect, but we also have a lot of people who are not like real joiner-inners. If that's you and you just want the information, we have resources, we have tools, we have templates, we have ideas. There's just everything that you could possibly need, in-depth masterclasses, so you can go deeper on the things that maybe you just have a surface level knowledge about. So maybe you want to go deeper into your inventory or you want to go deeper into your numbers. We have that information there. So you can do all of that on your own with our masterclasses and inside our library and through our guest experts. We've had lots of guest experts come in with their specialties because y'all, I don't know it all. I just try to bring it all together with everybody. And I just wanted to encourage you to think about joining us inside the Retailer's Inner Circle. If you're a member and you haven't been in a while, or you haven't poked around in a while, I want to invite you to come back in and have a peek around or ask us where your challenge is. This is my favorite new thing. My favorite new thing. It's not new, but it's a favorite thing of just let us know where you're at, where your struggle is, what are you working on right now? And if you need some support around that, we're going to guide you to the correct masterclass or workshop or we'll answer the question for you, or the members will answer the question for you. It's just a really great energy inside the Retailer's Inner Circle, and it's super affordable. We see retailers getting a return on their investment, like literally the first week they're in, if you take action. If you're an action taker, like our guest is today. Terrella has been a member, as I mentioned, for a long time. She's from Lake Jackson, Texas. I have invited her in because she is an action taker. She just makes me happy. She makes me smile because she'll talk about something she's having a challenge with or something that's maybe on her mind. Or sometimes she listens to the podcast. Hey, Jen. And she listens to an episode. And then we also usually continue the conversation in the group. And like a week later, she'll come back with results. This worked. This didn't. I tried that. This worked. And today she's going to share some of the challenges she had as a retailer, and we all have challenges and obstacles in our way, especially the last few years, but we always have them creep up. So she's honest about some challenges that she had in her CEO journey as being a shop owner. She's no fluff. I love her directness as well. And she's going to share her wins as well too, some of the cool things that she's done. Pay attention especially to the few shifts that she made. Doing some of the things that we've talked about inside the Retailer's Inner Circle and the steps that she took and the action that she took that has had huge impact on her sales, like huge, like there's just again, makes me want to smile. I'm smiling thinking about it and all the things that I love about Jeanne. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. I can't wait for you to meet Jeanne Terrell from Junk Rescuers. Let's go. Running a retail business doesn't have to be so hard. Welcome to the Creative Shop Talk podcast, the go-to podcast for creative shop owners, studio owners, and independent retailers. I'm your host, Wendy Batten, retail business coach and mentor. Each week, I'll share simple, proven business strategies, inspiring stories from fellow retailers, and advice from industry experts. Together, we're going to work to find the success you want from your retail business with more profits in your till and a little more joy in your life. So welcome, Jeanne, to the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I am 100%, 1,000,000% happy that you are here today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Wendy.
I think that what you have to share with our audience today, Jeanne, is real life real retail, as we like to say, real retail in the trenches, watching what you've been doing over the years. And you've been a member of the Inner Circle for a long time. I actually should have checked, but it's been a while. And I really invited you on today because I really wanted you to share with our audience a little bit of your journey, because I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Can you tell us who you are, where you're located, and tell us a little bit about your shop?
So as Wendy said, my name is Jean Terrell. I own Junk Rescuers in downtown Lake Jackson, Texas. Now we're a lifestyle store. So we began in 2017 as a 100% antique, vintage and antique resale shop. And then after moving our shop from off the beaten path to downtown, we've changed our product mix, and we're now becoming more of a lifestyle brand than just a resale shop.
Right. So tell us a little, tell us, how big is your shop?
So we have 2,000 square feet on a nice little quaint downtown walkable shopping area. When I chose that location, it was because of the beautiful storefront windows and the fact that it was surrounded by other shops and restaurants. So that's very different from where I came from.
Can you tell us a little bit about your journey? How did you become a shop? Like, what drove you to become a shop owner in the first place, way back in 2017? I know when we first met, you had the first shop, the little shop, but what drove you to even open that? Can you just share a little bit of that? What was the past history? Were you working in shops? Were you in vintage? Tell us a little bit about before you started.
So my career was always in sales and management for big companies in Houston, Texas. And through the years, I began to dabble in having a booth in an antique mall, because that was my hobby, was to spend all of my free time kicking around in dusty places looking for treasures. And so I started a booth rent, I had a booth. And when I went to work for my husband with him in 2017 to help him with his business, it became a little bit of a challenge. So he said, hey, why don't we just open up a shop here? Off the beaten path, down a county road, down a long gravel driveway. You had to be very brave to come to my little shop. So really, I'm just, as you like to say, I'm an accidental shop owner. And my business plan was, well, let's just see what we see. Yeah. If somebody shows up, it'll be great. And fortunately for me, they showed up. Because people who like vintage and antiques, they will go anywhere to find treasures. And that's what we had.
Yeah. So don't ever dismiss the being hard to find. I was as well. And my first shop was down in the middle of nowhere. And I think I've shared this before, in the middle of nowhere, down behind a house, like you had to drive down. It did not look like a retail store. And yeah, you can do big things in weird places if people are seeking you out, right? So now you're in a forward-facing, beautiful town. You're in town, you've expanded quite a bit. So there's no, I always like to just sort of set the stage for people to let them know, like, you didn't go to retail school. You don't have a retail.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, which is the majority of our listeners, we're, as you said, accidental entrepreneurs, had a passion, beautiful passion for vintage and hunting those down, and turned it into a hobby turned business is where a lot of us are, passion turned business. So winging it, I think, is not something that is uncommon for a lot of people. As you said, just kind of like, we'll see what we see, like we'll see what happens. And I think that a lot of people can relate to that. And so what did happen? Can you just share, what was the thought process? I just love sharing the sort of backstory and the CEO journey, really, like the journey to being a CEO. What is the reason? And I'm going to throw a couple of questions I didn't ask you, which I hope doesn't throw you off. But I know, like, we talked before, but we've talked many times. And I know, like, what was the reason? Can you share with everybody, what was the reason that you went from that little space, that little six, it was successful. People were finding you. Your social media, like you had an audience, a returning audience. And what were the factors in moving into the main street location?
So I had always wanted a brick and mortar store. My original thought was I would have a coffee shop and an antique store gift shop together. That was many, many years ago. I had those thoughts. And I ended up working for a nonprofit and helping them create a bookstore, a gift shop. And so I got some 10 years of experience wholesale gift buying. And so that kind of lit a fire in me to want to have my own spot, but I'm not that person. You know, my husband's that person, and he was the one who pushed, suggested, he didn't push, he suggested I open up my own shop, and he's very supportive. And so when to go from the small shop, there was a couple of deciding factors, but I wanted to grow. I wanted to see what we could do if we had a downtown location. And I was very specific. I knew where I wanted to be. We looked at every building that was available in our county, and I already knew where I wanted to be. And there was the shop that came open. So I just wanted to bring beautiful things to more people. And I never wanted to look back and say, I wish I had, or, you know, I wish I had done that. I wish I would not have waited. So that's kind of how that's worked.
I love that. And I love, I know we talked a lot during those, that transition, because it's scary, right? It's scary, but I love that you did want to bring, you were so driven to share with more people. I mean, to share your beautiful, you're just an amazing curator of all things. I hate saying just vintage, and because you're a creator, you're very good at merchandising. You're very good at serving people, and you're very caring. And I think a lot of our listeners, a lot of retailers that we work with, a lot of retailers in the inner circle, I know like you're an active member there, understand that that comes first, like really caring and caring about what you're doing and what you're serving your people or selling first. And then all the other stuff that comes back, you know, all that other stuff, right?
All that other stuff.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the challenges? This is real talk. We always love to, you know, bring in retailers for real talk. It's not all sunshine and roses over the last few. Well, we all know we've had challenges. We've all had challenges. So you moved to the new shop. Can you just share with everybody, when did you move to the larger shop?
So that was right after the end of COVID. So March of 2021.
Right.
Yeah.
There were still challenges at that time.
Yes.
There were still challenges with people or with different things happening. I mean, we had wholesale challenges. We had all the things going on. So how big's your team, John? Do you want to just share with everybody how big's your staff?
You know, we are a staff of two. And then I have some, what I like to call voluntolds. So my husband and my son come and help when we need to move big things. So really it's just myself and my shop girl, my niece, Tori.
So I love that. I love the voluntold thing. I've had a lot of voluntolds in my shops and work. As a matter of fact, my voluntold person still works in business. So I love that. And I think there's a lot of people probably chuckling out there with that going on now. That's a new vocabulary word for me. And I do also like to just remind people that you're in the shop every day. So we have a lot of retailers that, you know, they manage their shops and they have shop managers and stuff, but you're in the trenches every day. You're doing the things and you're doing a lot of CEO work. I never know if this sounds dorky or whatever, but I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm so proud of so many, like, I'm like high-fiving and cheering because I see you take action on and trying new things, because marketing and business is really just an experiment all the time, right? We're trying new things. And I have to shout out to you because I see, like, you'll say, if you'll listen to something or you'll do something, I don't know, we'll share a project or something or a masterclass in the inner circle. Like 2 weeks later, Jean's there with a report. Well, I did this and this is what happens. I love seeing your enthusiasm for trying different things to see how it works and what it looks like in your business. So can you share a little bit about any of the challenges that you've faced since maybe the new shop, especially? And I know we all have challenges. We all have things and bumps and dodgeballs, as we call them in the inner circle. I always say, okay, this dodgeball just happened to, we all get them. Can you share with our audience a little bit about any of the dodgeballs or challenges that you've faced on your CEO journey with this new bigger shop?
So going back to when we opened in 2021, I was not prepared for the success, the overwhelming support of the community, basically people coming off of COVID lockdown and just craving community, and were sick of looking at their houses the way they looked. And I was not prepared to replenish inventory So when you're there 24/7 and you are vintage and antique, you have to go out and find it. Those are what we call found items. And so I was like, whoa, what is happening here? So on my days off, I had to spend my days off recreating the store to fill. I mean, that's how fast product was moving out the door at the time, to fill the holes. And so there wasn't, and on Monday, there was nothing. You don't go picking on a Monday, you know, you do that on a Saturday. And so that was a huge challenge for us and for me. So that's when I started to bring in wholesale product, because it was easy. And that brought its own challenges, you know, because it was a whole different aesthetic from what we were, industrial, French country, farmhouse, back when we were at the old shop, to bringing in products that we were trying to stay with the same aesthetic, but it's still, it's harder to do when you're bringing in wholesale products.
Right.
So that was a big challenge for me.
I can remember when you had that challenge, and I think that's something that happens. Success does bring challenges. Success brings, like, again, what you also loved to do, out picking and hunting, let's say, picking and hunting. Mm-hmm. For those that don't do that, or those that do that, they get this and they're all nodding right now. And I can feel it. Their cars are all like, yeah, yeah. You know, like, it's really hard to maintain that balance. And also the unpredictability of what's going to happen with this new shop, what's going to happen. And I see this a lot with new shop, or with shop owners in new spaces, or with new product lines, or with new things happening post-COVID, for example. How do, you know, how do we keep up with inventory? And there were a lot of challenges also with even getting supplies. I know, like, when you first started mm-hmm. wholesale, you know, how long is it going to take? Where do I get, you know, like, all of that. Pricing became a problem for a lot of retailers. Pricing, what will our customers valuing, you know, all of these things that were all new. And I want to shout out to some of the challenges that I saw you face, you know, just again from a high level and, you know, inside the inner circle, head on, as far as that. And it was, you know, how do we maintain merchandising, the quality, because we don't want to, and I, again, lots of people are, you know, we can't have empty shelves. We can't have, and how do we meet our revenue goals with our new rent, with our new staff, with our new power bill, like, all, you know, all of these things are all if we don't have product to sell. So I watched you navigate that, and I watched a lot of retailers navigate that. And I want to, hats off to you, because it can be a challenge to make sure that we can't meet our revenue goals if we don't have the product, right? So I thought you did an amazing job with really trying to balance that. So bringing in that mix also changed your client mix a little bit too, as I witnessed that as well. And I watched you make some really incredible fun, I say fun, I mean, I don't know, maybe they weren't fun for you, you can tell me, but I watched you do some really interesting marketing shifts as well. You know, you do great events in your community. I love that your community is so welcoming to you. That's just a wonderful thing. I mean, I love seeing that happen. It's a great ripple effect for your community and your town. Your clientele changed, but you did. Can you share any of the marketing strategy that you put in place? Yeah. I know we talk a lot about strategy again inside the inner circle, but I watched you do a few interesting things that were like, wow, for you.
So one big eye-opening thing was a challenge that you put out one day, was to walk across the street and look at your shop from across the street, and what do you see? And I was shocked at what I saw. When I moved into my space, I took my sign, I hung it over the door, and I called it a day. On the front door was a paper with my logo printed on it, and our hours, a piece of paper, and that was it. So from across the street, sitting at the restaurant outside eating, all you saw was my neighbor, the appliance store sign. So if you weren't, there was nothing drawing you to our door. And I was like, oh my goodness, how naive of me, or arrogant actually, to think I could just hang a sign over the door like Elizabeth Arden and call it a day. But no. So I got with my graphic designer that had designed my logo, and we designed these amazing vinyl graphics wording to put across the front of the shop that told people what they would find in the store. And y'all helped, the Inner Circle group, our private Facebook group, was very helpful in helping me get that wording correct. And then we took that concept and we brought it inside the store with signage in the store. We were using business cards with our logo on it as price tags, but if you weren't looking at a price tag, then you didn't know what store you were in. And so we created all these signs that had our name on them. We put them in cute frames and we put them in every display. So when you're looking at that display, or if you happen to take a picture of that display or an item, our signage would be there. And then we went a little further and we made signs that said, we have products that are made in Texas, women owned, small business, small batch, staff pick, just all kinds of signage that is now all throughout the store. And I think that's made a big, I call it the silent salesperson, because it helps. You can't be everywhere in a 2,000 square foot store with two people to help everybody. So we're more about in-store marketing so much as we are more than, and then the community events that we do, but that was the big thing. And that was just a simple challenge of you saying, go across the street and look at the store.
Yeah, so I do remember that. And I know when I think you watched the branding class that we have inside the Inner Circle. We have a masterclass on branding, and that's where we do talk about signage, like, how do I know whose store I'm in? And how do I, you know, where am I? And like that was part of that challenge week. And I laugh because I do remember, like, you literally came back like 2 weeks later. That was one of those times I was like, whoa, you know, and the signs were amazing. And you continue to do that. I agree. I think it's really, This is part of our, we call it the foot traffic funnel, or the strategy, our marketing strategy. Marketing is not social media. You know that. I know that. We need to also be nurturing in store, outside, you know, like the whole funnel. And that's part of nurturing and engaging our clients to actually convert them from browsers to buyers in our store. There's part of it is this signage, I mean, encouraging them. So again, we don't want a shop full of signs, but I've seen your signs. I think they're beautiful. And you also made some other shifts. I had actually forgotten about the signage until you said that, but I do remember, and I loved how you did your front windows. And vinyl decals can be such a game changer for everybody. I just want to shout out. And we have a podcast episode and we have a full masterclass in the Inner Circle about that. But you know, you don't have to have custom designs. I know you did. They're not that rocket science expensive either. It's not that easy to have it done, but you know, you can also just, like, Etsy's full of, you know, cool signs like you can get. And it's just worth it to level up your game at eye level or from across the street, as you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, sign over the door, you know, it's what a lot of us have. So don't beat yourself up about it. I mean, it's just a very common thing. I can't unsee that when I go to towns. I'm a terrible tourist in other people's towns. I'm like, they need signage down here. I want to tell all the people. But anyway, so I'm telling all the people here with our podcast, I guess. But the other thing that you did, and I thought this was a really big thing, and I think this would be really helpful to a lot of other listeners. You had a big aha moment with merchandising. Can you share? Because you are an incredible curator and merchandiser. Like, your shop is stunning. Can you share what happened with your merchandising and your sales? And your sales, what happened in store when you shifted a few things?
So part of Wendy's metrics that we measure is close ratio, people in and who bought, you know, how many people bought that day. And so let me back up before. So I was watching that and the numbers weren't good.
You had a panic attack. I know you did.
I did. I was like, okay, stop counting everybody. Just count wallets. Only if there's a couple, we're only going to count one, no more two. So I think we were counting wrong to begin with, but I have to back up and say, with the curating of my displays, I learned how to do stacking and layering and maxing out displays for a booth to get as much in there as possible. And people who go to antique malls or high-end antique shows, they expect these wow, show-stopping displays.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I knew. And so when I came downtown, we continued to do that. And we were so busy that stuff was just flying out the door. But when that rush passed and we started to really notice that people were coming in and they loved our store, loved it. Your store is beautiful. It's beautiful. But there was nothing in their hand. They were leaving without buying anything. And we started to they would say things like, there's just so much to look at. It's so much to take in. Oh, I don't want to mess up your display. I'm afraid to touch that. And I started, now I'm there every day, so I'm hearing it more than I care to hear it, but I took it to heart. And I'm like reaching out to Wendy and the group. And I'm like, and she's like, okay, there's a masterclass on merchandising for sales. And I was like, okay, so I went in and I listened to that masterclass. I went through the whole thing. And then I sat back and I evaluated what was happening in my store, what was selling. And what was selling were the displays that were set up based on the principles of the masterclass. And I was like, oh, how am I going to change my whole store to this? And so that's what we did. We spent all last summer reevaluating and thinking through the process. And so we went from these big over the top amazing displays to smaller amazing displays, and then putting the items that are in that display very nicely organized near there. So it's easy. We call it shoppable in the store. And I was shocked at what I saw happen. So where before, if we had 12 of an item, let's say we had 12 brass candlesticks and they were spread out all over the store. Well, so people would see them here. They didn't make an impact on. So then we said, okay, let's build one display, put a display of candlesticks in it, and then put all the candlesticks in that cabinet, that glass cabinet right there on that shelf. And they're flying out the door. And I'm like, they've been here for 6 months. What do we do different? And so that's what we're doing. And people are coming in the store now and they love the new look. I mean, we're hearing it all the time. So merchandising for sales is a real thing. And I wish I would have, paid attention sooner, but sometimes I'm a little bit of a slow learner, but we did it. We've done it. And now going forward, we think more about that when we're building a display. How are we going to organize the extras so that people can find them?
Yeah. And I think you shouldn't beat yourself up on any of that past stuff. I think we all can learn a lesson. Like, we all have things to learn. We can always improve. We can always move towards better. As I always say, that's one of my favorite lines. We're always moving towards better. So I don't like when people say I'm slow or whatever. Like, that's not true, because that was working really well in the booth space. That was working really well. It was something that worked. And I think that's a really good lesson for all of us in, like, well, what's not working and why, and I actually watched you go through the process. And I know that you brought it up at one of our roundtables. I think you said at our Inner Circle roundtable, you said, I don't know why, like, they're treating my store almost like, I think you used the word like a display, like they were walking through just like looking in entertainment and they weren't buying. Is it pricing? Is it product? Is it, like, what is it? Like, why do they love it so much and not buy it? And your pricing was good. And, you start to think, and then I think we had the conversation. I'm like, listen to what they're saying. What are they saying? And then that's when we get clues from conversations with our clients. Clients' buying patterns change too. So what's working right now might not work in a couple of years. I don't know. Like, we don't know, right? We have to be having, and again, you've heard me say this before, we have to be having these unscalable conversations, meaning like, we can't really, if you put a survey out there and said, why have you not spent money in our shop? Like that, then you won't get the same feeling or feedback as you do. So when you switch that merch, I watched that magic happen, like, for you. I was like rooting on the end. I was like, yeah, look at that. Cause you were just blown away that like one table worked, and then two spaces worked, and then three space, like corners of your shop. I also want to mention that you've encouraged a lot of Inner Circle members to do that too by your results. Like, I've seen other people say, oh, I should listen to Wendy. I feel like sometimes, like, mom, nobody listens to mom, but then when, like, somebody else, oh, it really does work, So anyway, sometimes I feel like mom in the group, but yeah. So I've watched that journey. So again, what works evolves, and there are principles to making things intuitive to our clients to purchase, right? Like, it's always about being intuitive. So it's not always merchandising. It's not always like, sometimes we jump right to a conclusion that maybe it's pricing. Like, that's why they're not buying. Well, it wasn't, right? Or, you know, it's in pricing. No, they actually didn't care. And when things started flying off the shelves, I do believe that one of my comments was, well, time to put the pricing up, like inch it up 2, 3, 4, 5%, whatever you need to do to keep that, you know, keep them buying, but keep your inventory under control. So I just, hats off to you. I've really loved watching you just expand, and it's still beautiful and stunning and like gorgeous and nothing, you know, it's not like you completely, like, we're just going to put a table of candlesticks, but I mean, it's still, it's still stunning. It's still gorgeous. It's just, now it's selling. So it's all merchandise, not for looks. It's merchandise now to sell. So I think that's amazing. Where do you spend your time as the boss? What do you like, what are your big roles in the business? Where do you find you spend most of your time now as the CEO or as the boss?
So now that has definitely changed a lot. I'm not as much out front as I am in the computer, you know, in the numbers, planning. This year, we're working with a perpetual 5-month calendar so that we know what we call them events. We've thrown away the idea of doing workshops. There was no return on investment for us with those. But people love community-centered events. And so that's what we're doing now. We're just slapping a name on it and calling it an event every 2 to 3. We have one that we've been doing for 7 years. It's our second Saturday sip and shop. We kind of tie it to that one. But now going forward this month, it'll probably happen every 3 weeks, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm planning that, sourcing the products for that, and then really paying attention to the numbers. You know, I have my Monday is my CEO day. I spend 2 hours doing that at my desk. The shop is closed on Monday, so there's no distractions. I'm able to dig in and look at the things, make sure, you know, that the week is covered. There's, you know, we're ready for anything that might, you know, pop up that's not on the books. And then training Tori to be a business person, a shop owner, if that's what she chooses to do. I'm just a big believer in raising other people up. And I learned a long time ago that I learned a hard lesson by not doing that in one of my big jobs. I didn't train somebody to take my place. And when I left, it didn't go well for my staff because there was nobody there to do what I did. And I promised myself I would just never do that again. And so I spend a lot of time coaching her and going over. It's also kind of a challenge. I have to be her boss, but I'm also her aunt. Mm-hmm. So, but we have staff meetings, and we cover things that we want to do, challenges that I see, things I want change. And she is very accepting, and she applies everything that I tell her. So it's, So that's what I've been focusing on right now.
Yeah, that's a hard thing navigating. I mean, even whether it's a family member or just, you know, maybe somebody older than you or young, it's just always hard to have a relationship, which I think we need to have with our staff. I think we have to have some kind of relationship and also I love that you use the word coaching her. I think it is our responsibility as the visionary, the leaders, the team leader, if you will, of our mm-hmm. businesses to make sure that it's not just a job for them, right? We want them to be part of the culture. And also, I'm a big believer, and you know this, and I love everything that you said. I'm like, yes, CEO dates. Yes, these are all things we do all the time. I'm laughing because, you know, we have a lot of support around this inside the Inner Circle, just for those listening. And we have our monthly playbook, which have all the metrics that Jean's talking about. I just love that you spend the time. And this is how we know merchandise is not working. This is how we know our inventory needs to be replenished. Like, this is how we know, by just paying attention to those details and scheduling time and making time for your team is so, and I love that you do that. I've heard you make reference to that before, and coaching her, and because she's an extension, she's your brand. She is extension mm-hmm. of your brand. She is who the customer speaks to. This is our people. We are not just warm bodies in shops. We don't want them to be employees. I also really encourage and always love seeing, like, have them understand the mission, if you will. The verbiage I always use is like, I want them to know the mission. Like, what are the numbers? What are we, you know, why are mm-hmm. we trying to, like, why, you know, why do we need our conversion? I know you were talking earlier about, you know, foot traffic and then conversion numbers, which all sounds like blah metrics, but the shifts in store that we make need to be, our team need to be involved with that too. They need to understand, well, if 10 people are coming in and one's buying, like, what can we do to make five buy? Like, or what can we do to encourage five? You know, we have signage, we have merchandising, we have all of these things. And teaching your staff that and understanding the reason behind that is, I think it's gold. And I also think that these are skills she'll take for the rest of her life. Like you mm-hmm. said, she stays with, you know, with you or whatever. So yeah, I love all of that. What are you most looking forward to this coming year for in the shop? Like, what is the most exciting thing happening, or what's exciting that's happening for you?
So with all the changes, you know, it takes time to realize a return on your investment, you know. So we're working on these community events. So I'm not a TikToker. I don't have time to go down another rabbit hole, but Tori's 30 and she is. And so she and I, my ideal customer base is, they're aging out. They're not decorating their homes anymore. They're buying gifts, but they're not. And so I'm trying to figure out what this younger clientele that we want to attract, what are they doing? And so we're focusing on that. And so I'm excited about that change and how that might change our brand. You know, I'm really excited about that. And then I finally pulled the trigger and opened and did an online store. And I know that e-commerce is, you know, it's been there, it's not going away, but it's another revenue stream that I think that we just have to have. And it's time consuming. I'm not doing all of it at one time, but it's tied to my point of sale. So it's been a lot easier than building something from scratch. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see what happens with that this year too. So
yeah, it's like another arm of your business when we talk about e-commerce as an additional, like, marketing is different around that. Everything is different around that. So yeah. We actually have a really good podcast. If you haven't listened to that, we don't focus heavily on how to e-commerce, but it is the same principles. You just have to run the same strategy, the marketing funnel that we talk about, and the marketing strategy that we have inside the Inner Circle, like that whole funnel, and the Sales Accelerator program that I run as well. You just run that funnel, you run that strategy, and you run it for each arm of your business. So how are we going to market, you know, how are we going to attract new people? And I would also, you know, encourage you to, and anybody listening, I guess, I love that you're doing this new mix. I know you've shared that in the group before, you've shared it at the roundtables, and you've shared it in the group, that you're customer mix, the generational mix. I know that that sparked something in you. I think we did a podcast on it. We've had conversations mm-hmm. in the group, and you were like, holy cow, I hadn't thought of that. So understanding how to mix your generations. So I know that there's a lot aging out. And I would, on that note, I would also say, like, there's probably still more we can attract too, in that, like, we're not done. We don't have we don't have a pot. Like, there's 100 people that'll buy and then that's it. Like, there's yeah. lots of people who don't know you exist yet, but I love that you're growing your audience with those people and you're bringing in a new generation. And we have tons of Inner Circle members that I'm watching do that. And I love this. I think it's a really important mix in our development of our ideal customer mix, right? So I love that you're doing all of that. I think that's a really wise move for you. And I love that you're excited about it, because it's not like you're changing brands. It's not like you're not changing. You're just evolving. We're just evolving. And I think that's something, all brands change and evolve. I mean, there's just, like, if you think back to, you know, any brand, you're just kind of staying to your core values. You're still staying to the lifestyle and the beautiful home. And, you know, your core... Yes. You're aligning the same. You're just, some of the product mix is changing. Some of the things we do are changing, you know, some of the TikTok dances we're doing. So, you know, so I just want to encourage people to, it's okay to evolve our brand and shift. And I love, you know, yeah. I love that your awareness of that has been, and again, that came from Unscalable Conversations. You're like, what, mm-hmm. like, why did they all stop buying? Well, the big majority of your area and your ideal clients, you know, they stop buying the big furniture and all of that. So yeah, so I think that's encouraging for other people listening as well, other retailers listening, to maybe just keep thinking about who else is out there. And we'll be sure to link those podcast episodes here as well in the show notes, you know, with the generational, like doing the different generations. And, you know, I know that was a big thing for you. So I'm excited. Yes. Thanks. Yeah. So I always have a question. I want to honor your time. I told you I wouldn't keep you this long, and here we are, because I know you're a busy shop lady. You're a busy shop lady, but I feel like I had like 20 more questions here I could ask you, but we'll start to wrap it up, because I appreciate and honor your time. I always love to share when I have Inner Circle members on. Can you share, what would you tell anybody listening why they should join the Inner Circle, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, no, not at all. I think everything we talked about are all the reasons to join. I would just tell you, just do it. Just do it. Because Wendy's program and her, the way that she, I don't know how to put it. The classes are so well put together and lined out and easy to follow. And you do them on your own time. And there are a natural progression from the very beginning stages of opening your business all the way to the details of, I just recently learned about open to buy. So, and I've been doing this 7 years, you know, maybe that's something I should learn sooner. But one of the challenges that I had when I first started out, and still struggle with it today, is feeling like I'm an island. I'm over here all by myself. Mm-hmm. And you can only share so much with your staff, and you can only vent to your spouse so often before they just say, well, why are you doing this? You know, and that's not what you want to hear. So finding Wendy's group, the people in the Inner Circle are so supportive and non-judgmental and empathetic, and all of the things that I needed to help to support me in as a small business shop owner. And I found that through Wendy's, and so that alone was a huge game changer for me, because when I'm feeling in the moment and I'm struggling, I just go on our private Facebook group and I just put it out there, you know, and people are either like, okay, well, you just get over your pity party and move on, or, hey, try this, you know? So it's just made a huge difference. I couldn't have learned all these things, or, you know, I would not have thought about the merchandising for sales had I not been part of the Inner Circle. So, and then I listen to the podcast every Monday. So there's always something to glean from there. So yeah, just do it. Just do it.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm always nervous. I'm like, what are people going to say? So just do it. That's a good thing. Thank you for sharing that. I do as well think, and again, like that whole mom thing, like I'm inviting people to the Inner Circle all the time here on the podcast, but then I think, I don't know, like they're tired of me inviting them. So it's just not me saying it. It really does work. I do love the community as well too. And I mean, historically, the reason I started my first community was because I felt like an island too. So, you know, when I was a retailer, so there's a lot about feeling that. I had a retailer recently tell me, she's been in the Inner Circle a very long time, and I hadn't seen her post anything in a while. And she's like, I'm like, hey, how you doing? I was just checking in. And I said, you know, how are things? She's like, I'm great. And she's like, I'm not really active. I watch and I learn when I need to learn. She goes in and takes what she needs when she takes it, which is what we encourage. We don't want people like living on the Facebook group or anything. That's not what we're about. But she said, I love that it's my insurance policy. And I wasn't sure at first like what she meant, but then she said it was because I love knowing you're like, it's there. I can go get any information when I like anything that's coming up. I know I can go get the rest. So anyway, I thank you for saying that. I think you're saying that. Yeah. Come in the group anytime. As we wrap up, I always love, you know, you listen to the podcast. I love asking sort of rapid fire questions. Are you game for a few?
Okay.
Go. It's so crazy. Sean's been like, oh, I'm so nervous about this. But anyway, never be nervous about joining me. We're just two girls chatting here. So what's one piece of advice you wish you had received when you were starting your retail journey?
I think it would be to have a plan, a better plan than, well, we'll just see what we see. I just thought I was running a hobby business, and then somehow I hit my head and decided I would take it to the real world. And I just didn't have a, I didn't have a very thought, well thought out plan. And so I wish I would have had that. I wish I would have paid attention to that, you know, the availability that that was out there. So yeah, don't go it alone, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was a lurker too on your page for a long time. You know, I'd go in, look and leave, go look and leave. And it took me a while to grasp the content, the details that were available to me. So yeah. Well, having a support system. Yeah.
I'm a big believer in a support system. I mean, of all kinds, right? Like of all kinds. Mm-hmm. So I loved what you said about, you know, you can only go to your husband or even your like 9-to-5 friends. I always say people with like real jobs don't get what mm-hmm. we do, right?
No.
Like, just don't. They're like, well, just take a vacation. Like you need to take a 2-week vacation and just go away. Well,
yeah,
so easily. Like, yeah. So they don't always get it. So yeah, thank you. I think you're not alone in wishing that maybe at the beginning. Do you have a favorite hobby or what are you doing when you're not working? What is your favorite hobby?
Okay. So I don't have a hobby, but I'm going to fix that. My hobby was picking and, you know, shopping for items that turned into my business. And so my hobby went away and I've been so consumed with my business that I've not had a hobby. Mm-hmm. And so I love to read, but you know, that's not really a hobby. I mean, so yeah, I'm in search of a hobby this year. I love plants. I love my yard and we have a beautiful, we live on a lake. And so I think I'm going to start, I'm not going to become a plant lady, but I am going to try to embrace more of that organic, some kind of an organic hobby this year. That includes wine, actually. Yeah.
So you need to grow grapes or something. I don't know. So
yeah,
it is interesting. That question always has retailers. I see this a lot. I just see it such a common thing that our hobby became our business. That was my case for sure. Like, mm-hmm. you know, creative and DIY and painter. And then it's sort of what, like it, then it becomes a job, right? Or it is an interesting thing. So I too have been on a journey of like, what do I like to do? So I've started painting again and I've actually picked up rug hooking, which a lot of people make fun of me now, but I mean, I do rug hooking. So, but it's interesting, you know, it is good for you. I'm glad you're going to pick up something. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to check in on you. Yes. I'll be watching your gardening progress. Do you have a favorite or a current book that you could share with our retailers?
So no, I don't read business books. I've tried over the years when I worked for a nonprofit, we had required reading and business books, business development or volunteer development. And it's just not my thing. Now, somebody would write a business book about a shop owner that lives on in a coastal town, Wendy, and goes through the struggles of running a business and applies true business principles in the book, I would read that all day long. So somebody out there needs to create that book for me. But I do observe successful people and I do watch them and try to take nuggets from what they're doing and apply them to my business. I'm more of a, you know me, I'm an action girl, you know, give me an action point.
Action. Yeah. You're definitely so, action girl.
Yeah.
So not
currently.
I love that. And I laugh because I know there's other people listening and they're like high-fiving right now. They're like, I hate business books too. We have a business book club inside our mastermind group. And there's a few members that are like, I am not doing this. Like it's totally optional, but it's just so funny because, you know, then there's other people that they just consume. We all consume and then action differently. And I that's what makes the world go around too. Right. So we all learn differently as well too. Right. We all learn, some learn by doing, some learn by reading, watching, listening. There's just mm-hmm. some things. So thank you for sharing that and not saying, well, I guess if I had to pick one, you know, so I'm glad you didn't do that. So I love that. You know, we're all perpetual learners. I mean, we're all learning all the time. I see you learning all the time and that's just the way it is. So anything else to share as we wrap up? Anything else to share?
Let me think. No, I made a note. Oh, So one of the things that I've embraced this year that a lot of people, well, some of my friends are a little bit anti, is AI. Mm-hmm. You know, using AI for to cut my time down on certain things. And I think it's a very useful tool. Mm-hmm. And so I think if anybody out there is not using it to help them create their emails or content ideas or search hashtags or research whatever, I think that I would say definitely give it a try. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, you can get the free version. It doesn't cost anything. And I was skeptical, you know, I was very skeptical when it first came out and I was like, what is this? It's like the cloud.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the cloud? I don't understand that whole thing. So definitely that's been a real help. It's like having another staff member for me.
Yeah.
So
I think that's great advice. I love that you're sharing that. I think it's like saying, I'm not going to use the calculator, right? Like, you know, you just, we're not going to use, like when the internet first came out. I mean, you can't, AI's everywhere. Canva has the most amazing AI tools right now. I mean, it's amazing. ChatGPT, all of those ones. And I think if you look at it like an assistant, not as your whole, not going to take over your world, right? So I think it's baby steps. And just, I love that you reminded us about that because there is a lot of hesitancy, but it's baby steps, right? Just like open it up, see what it can do, or ask somebody else, ask another retailer. If you're a member of the inner circle, put a post, ask, you know, how are you using it or whatever, like ask, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a big believer in leapfrogging. So why would we reinvent the wheel on our island, as you said, right? Like we're on this island, right? I don't like stop being on your island and just get out once in a while and ask other people. And AI is, and it's here to stay. I mean, it's not like a passing thing. So we can face our fears. If we can do, we do hard things, don't we? As shop owners, we can figure it out. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Jean. I appreciate that. And thank you for being here. Where is the best place for us to send people to follow you? Is it your Instagram, Facebook? Where would you, we can share it all? Or
From the website, you can certainly get everywhere else. So that's probably the easiest.
All right. So we'll be sure to have all of your links in the show notes. And I want to thank you for being here today and being so open and honest and sharing with everybody. I think it's always helpful for other retailers to hear other real retailers in their journey. You know, I think it's amazing. Again, retailers helping retailers is what we're all about. And that ripple effect, right? That ripple effect of when you do well, your community does well and your family does. I mean, it's just everything, it feels good. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here, Jean. I appreciate you. And I'm so proud of you and all the work that you do. I love watching all the things that you're doing. So to your continued success, thanks for being here. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I'm so glad that you're here to join us this week, and I hope you found value in what we're sharing here. I want to remind you that our website has all of the show notes. You can find it at wendybatten.com/podcast. Everything that you need to hear about today's podcast is there. Also an opportunity if you need to reach out to me. If I can support you in any way whatsoever, please feel free to reach out. So thanks for joining us. Please leave a review, subscribe if you can, and never miss an episode. We hope to see you back here again next week. Thanks, my friend. Have a great week.